You can see why that king of Persia, when he couldn't sleep, asked for the Chronicles to be read to him. Wasn't these Chronicles, wasn't his inspired Chronicles. But the point is, sometimes the getting through all those, that list of names, and again, we've been through this recently, they're there for a reason. It's God didn't make any mistakes in what he had recorded in the Word. It's important there for a reason. This is legitimate, real history. I'll just throw something out for free. You take a look at, the major four world religions. You take a look, for example, at the Quran. Where's the history in that book? You're probably saying, I've never read it. I don't know. It's not there. Okay? There's just no history in that. So, you can't make a case that the Bible, that some book is the Word of God without history that is either verifiable or able to be falsified. God has this in here for a reason, so I'm not trying to minimize that at all. It just is sometimes tough getting through all those names. You guys can turn your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 10. Actually, don't go there yet. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be preaching out of Romans 10. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And, I gotta say, guys, I'm super encouraged by the Assembly of the Saints this morning. I was just thinking, I remember, to hear Rich this morning giving the stewardship and his thoughts and just, I think Rich, from the time I met him, would have done well just speaking in front of a group of people. But to remember when I first met him, and he'd been coming here a few times, and I talked to him, he said, I got questions. And to see somebody who will come and stick with it and to get those questions answered and then to actually become knowledgeable in the Word of our Lord and Savior and to turn around and be able to share that from a depth of Scripture, from different places, just encouraging to me. And I want it to be an encouragement to all the brethren, especially you new Christians. Like, if you commit to this and stick with it and read your Bible and assemble with the saints and hit the Bible studies that you can, God's Word performs its work in us who believe. That's what the Scripture says. And it's true. And I was thinking about Nolan, man. What a great Lord's Supper meditation. And to think about, when I first was Bible studying with Nolan and where it really encourages me. Brethren, God's word is true. He changes us. And so, the one thing you don't want to do, don't get discouraged, don't quit, don't give yourself easy outs, stay with it. God is faithful. And we know that from the Scriptures, but isn't it also encouraging when you see the Scriptures played out in the lives of your brethren? This is real. And so I'm personally really thankful for this congregation and the growth that I see in you guys, just your commitment. And one thing I don't like to be is alone. And I'm thankful to be a part of a congregation where people care about the same things that I like. Precious faith is what the Scripture says. So I realize I'm getting started here a little late, so I'll try to hammer through my message part pretty quick. But I'm not preaching on Mother's Day today. And you guys know me, you probably weren't necessarily expecting it, but Mother's Day is important to me. And the Scripture, moms are important. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul tells Timothy, Paul would call Timothy his son in the faith. And Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well." Moms, you are so important. Your faith being passed on from one generation to the next. Timothy, he's a great guy. As a young man, he had a good reputation. That's why Paul took him and had him travel with him. There was good character there. And if you look at Timothy's other side, dad stuff, this came from his grandma and his mom. This, don't ever underestimate what you do in terms of spiritually for your children and your children's children and your children's children. It's super important. I want one other thing. Go to Romans chapter 16. I could preach a message on Mother's Day. It's already been mentioned that the church is our mother. That's what the scripture says. And so I'm going to throw this in for free too. Okay? God's our Heavenly Father. Amen? Okay? But some people want to follow God and have a relationship with God and not have a relationship with the church. That does not make sense. God provided the church as our mother. Okay? And God's family. God is not a single, this is not a single parent family. Okay? So you can't do that. You will not make it without a commitment not only to Jesus Christ, but to His church. You can't have one without the other. Dad and mom have a perfect relationship. Dad isn't going to let you have a relationship with him while you're ignoring or neglecting or refusing to have a relationship with his bride. I'm starting to preach on Mother's Day. All right. Romans chapter 16, guys, I really like this one. Romans 16, verse 13. Paul's given all these greetings. He says, "Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine." As Paul was sending Rufus, who I'll let you make the connections. You might want to look up that name, Rufus, where else his name would appear in the scriptures. But Paul was greeting Rufus's mom. He said, "Greet Rufus, this choice man." Oh yeah, and greet his mom. Oh, and mine. You know what that tells me? Rufus's mom was like a mom to Paul. I miss my mom like crazy. I'm thankful, again, for people who in the church, some of the older ladies who are like moms to me. It's important, guys. God has it set up this way. But I'm not preaching on that today. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, beginning of verse 1. We're going to key in on verses. You know what? For the sake of time, guys, I'm not going to read all this context. We're going to jump down to verse 11. I'm going to read 11 through 15. For the scripture says, Romans 10, verse 11. For the scripture says, "Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call upon him. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things.'" Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful. We're thankful that you haven't just asked us to believe without giving us a chance to hear. Lord, we're appreciative for your communication to us. Not just the general revelation of creation, but as Brother Nolan was talking about, the specific revelation of your word. For us to be able to know you, to know your ways, to know the way that you think, to know what your heart wants. And Lord, by hearing and believing, for our minds to be changed to think the way that you think, and our hearts changed to desire the same things you want. What a great blessing it is, Lord, to be found righteous in Jesus Christ. We're appreciative for these letters, like the book of Romans, that do come in and help us understand why things work the way they work in terms of our mind. And for us to be able to sort through and really fight through this spiritual battle. To be able to take every thought captive in obedience to you. Lord, I ask you to be with me today as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly and that each of us would grow in faith. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when just quickly last week, I wanted to remind us in verse 11, it says, whoever. Verse 13, whoever. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Brethren, whoever means Jew or Gentile. We had a great Bible school class this morning. And you see, God didn't just like wake up one day when Christ came and say, oh, hey, the Jews are rejecting Jesus. What are we going to do? We better make this available to other people too. No, God's plan, as revealed, as very clearly revealed in the Old Testament, God's plan was that whoever would call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This would be Jew and Gentile. I want you to also notice whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think I mentioned this on a Wednesday night, or maybe I did mention it on a Sunday morning, but there was a, Matthew had a little interaction with Campus Crusade and campus in Bozeman here this past year. And, you know, Campus Crusade kind of has this idea, and they try to make this point that all you have to do is believe. That no response is required. Like that, the lady who had the hemorrhage, the flow of blood, and where she reached out and touched Jesus and was healed. That she didn't even have to reach out and touch Jesus. All she had to do was believe. Well, that's not what the Scripture says, guys. Why does the Scripture record for us what she did? Throughout the Scriptures, you see consistently, over and over again, belief causes us to act. Belief elicits a response. There's always a response that comes from belief. If there's no response, there's no real belief. That's James' point in chapter 2. Martin Luther didn't like James chapter 2. He thought that he called it a book of straw and wanted to throw the book of James out. He loved the book of Romans. Why? Because he misunderstood. There are parts of the book of Romans talking about faith that he could disconnect from a response. But I want you to notice it's in here. It just isn't quite as straightforward hitting as James chapter 2. But it's in here. Faith produces a response. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God wants us to ask for help. You know, I had a conversation with a really interesting conversation with Mrs. Gould. And she's getting into signing things. And she was talking about, you know, call upon the name of the Lord. And for some of that signing, sometimes it's like summon. You know, for call. Somebody was making the sign at summon. And this is not, I want, you know, and she was like, that bothered her and Josh. You know, so we talked about it a little bit. What's that word mean? This word can mean summon, you know, but that's not what it means consistently throughout the Scripture. We're calling upon the name of the Lord. Okay? The way I can best explain it is, we're not demanding something of the Lord. We're asking Him for help, and we're asking Him for help in the way that He tells us to. Okay? All of us are parents. You've had your kids that come out and cry attitude and like, help me. Like demanding. What do you do as a parent when your kid acts that way? Do you answer their demand? Oh, yes, here, let me. No. It's like, you go back to your room and you do it this way and you're ready for ask for help. You do it this way. Guys, isn't it reasonable that God would tell us, okay, I'm glad you understand your need for help. But if you really understand your need for help with the right attitude, you're going to ask me in the way that I want you to. Does that make sense? Let's even consider real quickly. Wow. I don't even know if I'm going to get through my review here. The example of the prodigal son. You know, you think about the prodigal son. He came to his senses while he was still far away from his father, didn't he? But you know what? He still had to come back to dad and ask. He still had to come and say, Dad, this is what I'm... The thought process started somewhere in the... Well, he was far away. It's like, man, this is what I should do. But he had to do it. Now, when he did it, Dad was more than happy to take him back. And Dad was watching even for him to come home. But Dad was waiting for him to come home on Dad's terms. It's a scriptural principle. So the Scripture is clear on this. This isn't just a verbal call. God's, you know, confession with our mouth that Jesus is Lord is certainly a part of the plan of salvation. But this appeal takes place in the waters of immersion. I'm not going to go back and re-hit that. Acts 22:16, 1 Peter 3:21. If you need to see those are very clear about that. This is the way that God wants us to ask for help from Him. So that's a review. Let's move on here. Verse 14. How then should they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? I talked about last week a little bit in illustration, so it's still review, but I just got a little ahead of myself last week. You know, somebody called up and asked for Miss Julie Wilson. I'm like, nope, she's not here. Because it was Mrs. Julie Wilson was there, not a Miss Julie Wilson. You have to know who you're trying to get a hold of. The scriptural point is, you have to recognize and believe that Jesus is Lord in order to call upon Him. I want you to notice again, belief precedes the call. I'll just pick on one group here for a second. Because we have, sometimes guys, for stuff to register with me, I have to see a little contrast. There is a huge portion of our religious world that wants to baptize infants. My brain says, okay, no, number one, did that infant believe? What is that infant or small child, let's just even say, what do they have to repent from? How can they repent? And they're confessing that Jesus is Lord? And now they're going to make that call? No, it doesn't make sense. Belief precedes the call. And I'm also going to say this. You can make a call in the waters of immersion. Well, you can hit the waters of immersion and have it not be a call upon the name of the Lord. And I don't care if it's an infant or an adult. If you hit the waters of immersion without the preceding belief, without the accompanying belief, all you did was take a bath. I mean, the Bible's consistent on this, isn't it? We're not talking about an imaginary Jesus either. We're not talking about a Hollywood Jesus. We're talking about the Jesus of the Bible. We gotta believe the God's revealed word to us about who Jesus is. And, one of the reasons I was so encouraged today by Rich and Nolan is it's obvious these guys have been in the Word. And you know what, guys? The Word communicates to us of who Jesus really is, the full picture of Jesus. We had fun in Sunday school class today, a bunch of Old Testament stuff. Guess what that Old Testament stuff's about? Jesus. Revelation 19, verse 10 tells us that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. Jesus would say in his discussion with the ruling Jews from John chapter 5, he says, you guys search the scriptures because in them you're looking for eternal life. He says, it's these that bear witness of me. The scriptures tell us who Jesus is. You don't get to say, well, I think Jesus would. My God would never. Jesus would never. Who is Jesus? We have a record of who Jesus is. Now, if your God would never, then you got two choices. Either you're going to get God to repent, or you're going to repent. I'll let you take your chances with that one. So, belief. Belief is also, the scriptures here. I'm getting ahead. But we can't call the name of the Lord without belief. And guys, scriptural belief is based on reason. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. We all know the first few words of this, most of us. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. But that's not where that verse ends. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they'll be like wool. And the next verse goes on and says, if you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. The next verse says, but if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Surely the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Come, let us reason. Let's think through this. We had our sins. Our sins made us unclean. Our sins made us not be able to stand in the presence of God. Our sins made us separate. Our sins destroyed relationships in our lives. Our sins destroyed everything. And God says, come, let's reason together. Let's think about this. I'm providing a way that you can be made clean. But he says, come, let's reason. Let's think this through. And that leads us to the next section from Romans 10. How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Guys, you can't believe in Jesus without hearing about him. I think the illustration's weak or weird. I'll just say weird to begin with. And some of you have probably heard it more times than you care, but here it is. Unicorns. How many of us believe in unicorns? Okay. Jeff Bisco, he's the things you don't believe and the things you do believe. Anyways, interesting. Okay. Anyways. Most of us think of unicorns as these mythological creatures, right? So if I told you, hey, I'll give you $1 million. All you have to do, $1 million, all you have to do is really believe that in this back room here, I have a living, breathing, polka-dotted unicorn. Now, you might want $1 million, but you can't just will yourself to believe something that you know isn't true. But let's consider this. What if the past 20, 30 years, we found fossils of unicorns in eastern Montana? Oh, and we also found even living ones. National Geographic has been putting stuff out here about this. Animal Planet even did a thing on it. USA Today had like a headline article. We found unicorns, and they don't have zebra pattern, they have polka dotted pattern on them. And we found him in eastern Montana. And now I told you I had you one there. And you've been seeing this? Yeah, I can buy that. Now, this also tells you the power of propaganda, okay? Be careful, because it's going on around you all the time. Amen. Your thinking gets shaped by what you read. But my point is, in order to believe something, you have to hear about it. You have to be able to process through it. The scriptures are going to give us what's necessary in order to believe. We'll get to this in a week or two. Verse 17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Once you hear, you can make a reasoned decision. I'm curious, show of hands. How many of you here have seen God's Not Dead, the first one? I still haven't seen the second one. God's Not Dead, good movie to a point. It's some really interesting, I think, good thinking, valid stuff to think your way through to a point. But what really bothered me, you ever notice, one of the worst things that happens to me is I'll read a really good book and then I hate the ending. It's like, oh, why did I like this and now, why did I waste time reading this book that I hate the ending to? Okay? Well, there's, God's Not Dead. It's like this good movie, and then the end. The villain, the atheist in this guy, the bad guy. You know, he's going out and he's anti-God and contrary to God and bad attitude towards God, and he gets hit by a car, and this guy he's had the interaction with, and they share the gospel in like 30 seconds or whatever with him, and he's like, you know, okay, and they portray him as getting in. Guys, this is like a you know, just in case. Okay, you know, that's not scriptural belief. You cannot believe without hearing. And this isn't in here, but it fits the illustration. You can't hear unless you listen. Probably be a good idea to stay awake when you're reading your Bible. Looks like everybody's awake today, so I won't mention the staying awake during assembly. That was last week. So, a good idea, right? Stay awake, to pay attention, to be engaged. All right. Can't believe if you haven't heard. How should I hear without a preacher? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is relevant. I'm hitting bullet points today, guys, just flying through these. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul says, "For Christ did not send me to immerse, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, that the cross of Christ should not be made void." And he goes on and he talks about verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased with the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. A lot of people take verse 17 out of context. They see, Paul didn't come to immerse. He came to preach the gospel. That's right. Paul didn't come to immerse. He came to preach. That doesn't nullify the person's responsibility of the hearer to make the call. People were being immersed in Corinth. Paul just didn't do it all. And Paul says, that's not why I came. I came to tell. I came to speak. I came to preach. The responsibility is on the hearer, isn't it? But you can't hear without somebody preaching. And preaching, what we do is we preach Jesus. That's what we bring. That's the message that we bring. That's the only message that can save. So think about this. The Ethiopian eunuch. Okay, he's going along. He's in his chariot. Looks to me like we know he's coming back from Jerusalem. I've been there to the temple. To me, one of the feast days. My picture in my mind, he purchased a scroll while he was there. He's reading this scroll, which would have been super expensive. He's a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Probably had the funds to do it. Spent this. This is a souvenir he's bringing back. Okay? He's reading from Prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit's been working on Philip. Hey, go up and join this chariot. Philip comes up. He hears him reading. He says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy says, how could I unless someone guides me? He invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And then from that scripture, Philip ends up preaching Jesus to him. Brother, that's where almost all of us start from. How could I unless someone guides me? You pick up the Bible and you start reading in Genesis. And if you make it to 1 Chronicles chapters 1, 2, and 3, do you make it past that? I'm just telling you from my experience, even being raised in this and knowing, I can't tell you how many times I started reading the Old Testament and quit as a kid, as a young guy. I got bogged down. I needed somebody to guide me. How about Cornelius? God-fearing, Gentile, devout man, feared God with his whole household. And guess what God had to do? He had to send Peter. Acts 11 verse 14 says that he will speak. The angel didn't do it, by the way. Anybody who says the angel told me, go read Galatians 1. But what the angel said is that God's going to send Peter, this guy named Peter, and he's going to speak words to you by which you will be saved, you and your household. The words had to come. They couldn't believe without hearing. How about the Philippian jailer? He asked the question, you know, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you should be saved, you and all your household. And it doesn't say, and he believed. No, it says, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with those who were in his household. You can't believe unless you hear. You can't hear unless someone speaks to you, unless someone preaches. So I want you to think today, brethren, think about your friends and your neighbors. They going to hear without a preacher? Yeah, I'm not a preacher. I'll get to that in a second. Got one more bullet point to hit. Will you open your mouth? How are they going to believe? Well, they don't believe. Well, I don't argue with you. They don't believe. Would they believe if they had a chance to hear? How do you know? I mean, think back to your days before Christ. Who would have picked you out as a prime candidate of somebody that would believe? But somebody somewhere cared enough about you to tell you, to give you a chance to hear. You know, again, as a little side note here, guys, the pressure isn't on us to convert somebody. We tell people. We show them. We give them the message. The response is theirs. And not our response. We've already made our response if we're Christians. But let's be fair. Somebody can't believe something they don't know. How are they going to know? Doesn't that come from us? How should they hear without a preacher? And how should they preach unless they're sent. Well, Luke, I'm not a preacher. Are you a Christian? Are you a disciple of Christ? If you are, then Jesus has commissioned you. Matthew 28:18-20. I like to start at 18 because Jesus says all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus has commissioned every Christian. You've been sent. That doesn't mean that you've been sent. Well, I'll just briefly touch on this. It doesn't mean you've been sent by the church. That's another sending. But Jesus has sent us individually, every one of His commission, to talk to people around us about Christ. There are two parts of our message that are so important. Our lips and our lives. And those two things go together. If they don't go together, we got problems. Well, I try to be a good example. Good. But being a good example, it includes talking about the one who's life. He is life. You can't be a good example without some point opening your mouth. I'm not preaching today about the right way to do this. Scripture talks about that. Prayers for wisdom and all that. But we've been commissioned. Well, Luke, I'm not a preacher. Moses didn't think he was either. He tried that one on God. God said, just out of curiosity, who made man's mouth? God's the one who made man's mouth. If God's the one who's saying to go, then we go. Guess what, guys? God's saying to go. God's saying to open your mouth. It is, honestly, sometimes it is overwhelming to me, personally, to look around and to see where people are at in their spiritual situation, to see if they perish right now. They will perish eternally. It is tough for me. And I don't do enough about it. But it burns in me. And I hope it burns in you. People are dying and going to hell. Who will tell them the truth? Well, they aren't going to... How do you know they're not going to believe? Don't they deserve a shot? How shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they're sent? Brethren, we've been sent the greatest authority on the face of the heaven above and earth below. The greatest authority has said, you go. You're my ambassadors. You're the means. God did this for a reason, brethren. He didn't pick the angels. He picked those of us who were sinners. Those of us who were messed up. Those of us who were just like everybody else and on the way and destined for destruction. And the gospel came in and light shone in us. And God's love changed us. And now all of a sudden we're going and we're His messengers because we understand this is real. What better messengers could God pick? Book of Proverbs talks about, you know, sending a message by the hand of a fool. Brethren, God, or a fool sends a messenger a certain way. God's no fool. He's chosen His messengers carefully. He's chosen us. There's more to it in terms of the local church sending people out. Maybe I'll just do a quick little intro of the message next week on that. Today, I want each of us to consider who God's made us to be. Who do you go tell? I think I mentioned this recently. It's been on my mind. The an old school Kevin Costner movie. I haven't seen it for years and years and years, but The Guardian, Search and Rescue. Who do you save? Guys, the ones you can reach. You swim as fast as you can, as far as you can, and you save those you can. Is there an accident why you are where you are? Is there an accident that you live in Billings, Montana? Is there an accident that you're neighbors with the people, your co-workers with the people that you are? There's opportunities. God wants us to give people a chance to believe. Let them hear while we speak. Doesn't the scripture say, hey, according to the same spirit of faith, this is written, we believe, therefore also we speak. Belief elicits a response, doesn't it? First, to call upon the name of the Lord. And now on this side of it, brethren, what's belief inspire us to do? We believe, therefore we speak. We tell others. We are ambassadors for Christ. There's no greater message on the face of the earth. Amen? No greater mission. No greater cause. No other reason. No better reason for us to open our mouth. Let's do it. Let's reach out this week. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. We're thankful for the reasoned perspective that you give us, that we can sort through and test it out and see whether or not it's true. We're not talking about snake oil salesman type stuff here. We don't peddle the word of God. Lord, we're thankful the way you've laid this out in the depth, Father, then of the faith that this builds within us. And as this faith continues to grow, then more and more, Father, we, everywhere we go, everything we do, everything about who we are speaks, Father, of your glory and of your glorious message. Give us the love. Help us to love the way you love. We love, Father, because you first have loved us. We're thankful that you cared about us while we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, while we were squirming in our own blood. Lord, you rescued us. Father, now you've commissioned us as part of your search and rescue team. What a blessing it is. We're thankful that you considered us faithful and put us into your service. Lord, give us the love, and then give us the courage, give us the wisdom to be able to share your word so that others can hear and choose to believe. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I have decided.